This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Are the Rangers as a whole greater than the sum of their parts? 877-881-1053. You want to get involved in the conversation. It is also a shout out Friday from the 972. Gentlemen, this is Ricardo, aka your friendly math tutor, the original napkin thank you or shout out note writer. My grandma Sharon and I had a rough month, but we're still here pushing together. Shout out to you, Grandma. Every day I'm in your life is the best day of my life. Cheers to you guys for continuously being part of our family. Can't wait for the next round of Buffalo Wild Wings.
There you go.
Love it, love it, love it. And then this is super cool from the 817. I like to shout out a fellow Tolo I met at GameStop that won the Wyatt Langford signed jersey.
Okay.
That is freaking awesome.
One of the Artolos went to the card show and got one of those Wyatt Langford jerseys that Paul Wirth had, by the way.
Yeah.
That's dope.
That is very cool. I'm so glad that...
No, it's dope, Kevin. Say okay. Dope.
It is dope. Good job.
Old man saying dope. This is crazy.
All right. So for this one, I'm going to combine a couple of different stories from MLB.com and The Athletic.
Okay.
Because this is what got me wondering about this. So let's start with the position players first. So on The Athletic, they ranked the top 100 position players. I believe the Rangers only have three in the top 100.
And I believe DeGrom's not on that list.
Because he's not a position player.
Right, because he's not a position player.
Makes sense to
me. Take Evaldi off that list, too.
That's true. No Rocker, Leiter.
Well, they're not there yet.
Kevin. Okay. So this is a different reason they didn't make it. Gotcha. So, tier two, Corey Seager. He is essentially ranked by The Athletic as the 17th best position player out
there. And that's considered an MVP caliber player still.
Yes.
But just not like the guy.
But it feels a little disrespectful.
It does.
I know last year was a rough year for him.
The only thing keeping him from MVP is her injury.
And sure.
He can win World Series and ALCS MVP easy because he's there for those. But injury keeps him from being in. Like, that's what kept him from getting it the year that Ohtani won in him.
Yes,
when he was second.
I actually agree. I think he could have overtaken Ohtani. Now, Alec, I want to get your thoughts because Corey Seager's in tier two. But I told you only two other Rangers position players are in the top 100, and they're both in tier four, steady and solid. Who would you pick?
Marcus Semien has to be in there, right?
Marcus Semien is 54th, and he is in tier four below this other player from the Rangers.
Is it a young player?
Can't say. They are a position player.
That means they're old then.
Oh, I didn't say that either.
I'm gonna go Wyatt Langford.
Wyatt Langford is correct. Now, we can circle back to Wyatt Langford in just 1 second. But the point is, on the list, all your position players. 17 for Corey Seager, 48 for Wyatt Langford. Marcus Semien is 54. So you only have three. And I know people would be like, well, by the law of averages, if you just broke down, theoretically, just about every team should have three. And then obviously all the leftovers belong to the Dodgers. But what I want to also talk about, and this is where it feels like a big disconnect. tiers of contending teams for the 2025 MLB season. Tier one is only the Dodgers, which I get. These ones, the Braves, Mets, Orioles, Phillies, and Yankees, are World Series or bust in tier two.
Okay, when you say that World Series or bust, they haven't done it recently, right? Am I, like, they haven't won it recently?
True.
Out of that group?
True.
And then, and so their fan base is probably sitting there going, we got to do it now.
And it feels like the expectations can be met. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of fan bases like, we need to win the damn World Series. And then you look at the team and you're like, probably not.
And the like you said, the Orioles, right?
Yes.
That's a team that the last few years now you've been sitting there going, all right, they're ready. And they haven't shown up in playoffs.
I agree with that 1,000,000%. And then the next group is the better than you might think they'll be. The Cubs, Diamondbacks, Rangers, and Red Sox. And the reason why I bring this up is because it says none of these teams made the playoffs last year. We'd be stunned if at least one, if not several, didn't make the playoffs this year. So if you went off just a strictly like a ranking basis, that's teams 7 through 10.
Okay.
And so I guess that's what leads to my question. Are the Rangers as an entity better than their individual pieces? Because everybody looks at, like, again, I'll go back to the Dodgers. I know the Mets have spent a crap ton of money as well. But everybody thinks the Dodgers have the greatest collection of individual talent that maybe we've ever seen in the history of baseball. But here you have the Rangers, their run of the mill, three players in the top 100, as average as it gets. And then when you look at consistent power rankings, we saw somebody from multiple people from ESPN are like, the Rangers are the team to beat. There's things from, I think, FanGraphs that have the Rangers at the highest projected wins. And then here's MLB.com that has them in the group of 7 to 10. It feels like the Rangers as a unit are significantly better than, like, just plucking out the individual talent.
They're the Justice League, right?
Ooh,
like, maybe Superman okay. and Batman are good, but as a team, they're better.
Okay.
I they're kind of like the Stars.
See, I could see that.
Like, Rantanen is an elite player. DeGrom is an elite player. Seager is an elite player, too. But the rest of that group, like, their lineup, you're scared of. The whole lineup, you're like, oh, man, if they're on, this thing could just put up 20 runs a game. You know, they're that good. Their pitching, health is their biggest weakness.
Agreed.
And that's the only
You've already seen that, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only... Everybody that's looking at the Rangers this year is concerning themselves with health on multiple fronts. Evan Carter, DeGrom, Evaldi. Even, like, how long can he keep it up? Seager, obviously. Simeon's the one person you're like, not worried about that with him.
Right.
He plays 156 games a year. That's going to happen.
He does.
But I think you're right, Kevin. Like, it doesn't seem like you have this is the face of the league or multiple faces of the league, but you have a bunch of guys that if they can string together a bunch of hits in a row, God, be careful, man.
Until we circle back around to Wyatt Langford. All right. In the meantime, I want to read this real quick from the 817. Corey, you know the answer to this because we went there. Is cold beers and cheeseburgers a kid-friendly place? Single dads, so take my daughter everywhere. There were tons
there were a lot of kids.
Of families
yeah.
when we went up there.
I wish I could... I'm trying to think of a place I can compare it to, but yeah. Cold beers and cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
It's like... It's got... They also have soft drinks. I'll put it... They have appetizers that are not cheeseburgers. They have desserts. We did not sample any of the desserts. That dadgummit, why didn't we do that?
I did get the buffalo mozzarella sticks, and I thought they were solid.
They have lots of stuff, and they can set up big tables for you and the family.
So let's go back to The Athletic. Wyatt Langford. Now, this question is posed by The Athletic, not by me, so I don't want to hear any bias. How great could Wyatt Langford be? That is the question that is posed. And I'm going to read you the blurb, and... This is some hefty praise or potential praise. Last September, Wyatt Langford was on fire, combining his great power with contact and patience at the plate, strong work in the field, and excellent base running to put up more wins above replacement of any baseball player not named Shohei Ohtani.
Wow.
Could he reach his ceiling so quickly that this ranking will seem silly at the end of the year? So I told you they have Wyatt Langford at 48 on their list of best position players. And then the question that The Athletic brought up, and I know it's just 1 month of September, we talked about he was the AL player of the year, but The Athletic is even asking the question, could he get to that ceiling so fast that you'll look back at this and be like, that's stupid. You're stupid for putting him at 48.
And I don't think that's a clickbait thing either.
Or silly. They said silly.
I don't think that's a clickbait line on that because, and I know the hype for us is a lot. I mean, we're really excited about the player, but around the country, you're starting to see like, man, you guys have something special. Like they, around the country, they recognize that. I was listening this morning to Sean and RJ and Bobby and Ross's show.
That's right.
And Bobby threw out the thing of that month of September. If you extrapolated that out, it's like 50 home runs.
Yes.
Like
we had done that a couple months ago.
And then Choppy said he thinks by the end of this season, he will surpass Seager as the dude on this team. By the end of this season. Yeah. And it was kind of the comparison of like, Seager's starting his trajectory down, which I don't know, maybe he is. He's just at that age. But Wyatt Langford is on his way up. And ultimately, that's what the Rangers want. When the Marcus Semien and Corey Seager deals are done, they want to be like, hey, guys, we got our 1 and 2 hole hitters in Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford for the next 10 years. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's ultimately what they would love to have happen. This year, if he just stays within himself and doesn't try and do too much and just plays his kind of game, lets everything come to him. Last year, he got frustrated by some of the calls that weren't going his way.
True.
And I think he's going to get, you know, now he's in the big leagues and I think he's going to get a little more of it. But I'm expecting a big season out of him, Kevin. And yeah, I think it is kind of one of those things where you're going to look back and go, that was dumb to even question it.
In the 817, I think Wyatt will be right around top 20 by the end of the year. And then from the 432, I have never thought about it like this, but I'm intrigued by this statement. Wyatt Langford could be what Joey Gallo wasn't.
Okay. We knew Joey Gallo could hit 700-foot home runs. Yeah, I think Wyatt Langford could pitch too if we wanted to.
I could see that.
But Joey Gallo, we were like, that dude can hit bombs. And we knew that about him, but we didn't know a lot more. We were hearing a lot of hype out of him. And there were people that were fed hype about him, and they were talking highly about him as well. The ability to hit doubles, the ability to hit for average and hit for power is the thing that I love so much about Wyatt. He's just hitting the ball hard. And if it goes out, it goes out. But otherwise, I'm just trying to get on base and drive in runs. That's his approach. Joey Gallo is going up to the plate going, if I don't hit one out of here, I might never be able to play baseball again. And that was his biggest problem was in between the years.
To be fair, maybe he wasn't entirely wrong about that. Now, outside the top 100, so the best of the rest for the Athletic list, and this is why that's going to be important, Evan Carter and Adolis Garcia. So they're like, hey, you know, they're outside the top 100. They're in the fringes, but they didn't make it. So I want to go to Evan Carter. And Evan Carter, this is something I very much appreciate about him. He continues to be pretty open about the questions that are asked to him. I have no doubt that he is annoyed as all get out that people keep asking him about, like, hey, why can't you hit left-handers, blah, blah, blah. So this is what he said. I understand the huge discrepancy, talking about the splits between right-handed pitchers and left-handed hitters. But at the end of the pitcher, excuse me. But at the end of the day, if you're a good lefty in the minors, you're in the big leagues like that. The sample size, it's just not there. I know that I'm going to get better at it. Because he was better at it in the minors, which is one of the reasons that, like he said, snap, he got pulled right up to the major leagues. This is the part I really like. I'm just not going to accept the fact that I'm not going to get better at it. I'm not a naive person. I understand everything is out there. I'm also a determined person. I have conviction in myself. So the reason why I like that is not only does he believe in himself, but I like that he threw in, I'm not naive to not understand what the scouting report is on me or what people think about me or whatever. And then for him to fire back of, but I believe in myself. I think I can do it.
He's 22.
I mean,
like the patience for us isn't as patient as him at the plate. And that's unfortunate because we saw him in the World Series do that thing. We saw that flash and we're like, where's that guy? Where's the,
yeah.
Well, don't forget, they did protect him in the playoffs. They did protect, they did still go to other people in the lineup whenever lefties were on the mound. was it Alvarez goes on the mound and they're like, hey, you're not starting this one. And then eventually he gets in after Alvarez is taken out against Houston. That's the, like, that is the, he's 22. Let him grow into it. Give him that opportunity. He still does very well. He didn't do so well last year, and maybe that was just the back end, the back problem. Maybe that was the problem there. But he still, against righties, will be very productive. That's the hope. And then, yeah, let him come along. Let him grow. Let him turn 23. Let's see that happen.
It is indeed a shout-out Friday from the 512. Shout-out KNC fellows from Pueblo, Colorado.
Hey, what's going on? I got friends up in Pueblo.
Oh.
I do.
Maybe this is your friend.
No, I don't think it is.
Okay. From the 817.
Or maybe it is.
These are shout-outs we don't get enough, and I enjoy them. Shout-out to my work enemy for calling in sick today. Didn't feel like dealing with him anyway, Tolo. There... I get exactly what they're saying.
What are you talking about?
For me, it's me for Alec. I have become Alec's work enemy. But people that you're like, I just don't like that person. And like, if they're not at work that day, it's probably going to be a better day for you. Or if they're on vacation, it's going to be a better week for you.
I mean, I didn't have to see Peyton this morning, so.
Wow.
Good point. Mm. Good.
You're talking about Mike?
No. No.
You can be honest, dude.
I'm not talking about Mike.
Yeah. Nobody's listening.
From the 817. A lot of people are listening.
A lot of people are listening. You're right.